Good morning, church. It's such a pleasure to see you all here or at home on Zoom. At least some of you, as not all of you, could be comprehended here on the screen. It's an interesting combination of feelings, isn't it, perhaps, for most of us? A sense of joy that we are back in this most desired building for the last half a year, perhaps, by our members. But on the other hand, looking around, it's so strange and different. And knowing what's on the news, forecasting about the future, we may be concerned, at least, to say, about the future. But it's good to see you, and it's good to know that we are still blessed. I'm not asking you because I already know the answer. We are still blessed no matter what regarding the circumstances of our life. Over almost actually a month ago, we started a study in stormology, if you like. First, listening or re-listening to two of my old sermons that I've preached in this place over 2 years ago, and mainly observing a text in Mark chapter 6, verses 45 to 56, that well-known experience when Jesus walk on the water, but the disciples are so fearful, and we look at it for two Sundays, observing some hidden blessings in the storms of life. Then last Sunday, only with the trustees and a few people here and those at home, I had a fresh sermon looking at a similar experience in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. And without repeating this sermon, basically we've learned how to trust God through the storm. Today, we will start with the same passage in mind, so I'm not going to read it again. It's Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. I'm just going to read the last two verses, and later I will land on a different portion of scripture. Towards the end of their experience, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, we've concluded last Sunday that for the disciples, it was a very important lesson to learn through that storm. And once again in their lives, to be in awe of who Jesus is, they've discovered more than ever how he is divine and has power over creation, over nature, and they were in awe of him. We've also concluded that we started the sermon by saying that they were not through that storm because of their disobedience, but basically because of their obedience. They just listen to Jesus. "Let's cross on the other side. Look, there is a boat here, jump in, and we will cross on the other side." And they were obedient. But through the storm, they start doubting his promises. "Let's cross on the other side." Not going to drown in the storm or in the Sea of Galilee. They were so afraid by what they saw, and they forgot about what he said. And often, especially during this time of pandemic, we may face exactly the same issue. We are really affected by what we see on TV, we read on papers, we hear what others say, and we forget what he says. He promised that we will cross on the other side, and we will. But the disciples were so afraid. Until verse 14, Mark doesn't clearly says that they were afraid in the storm. But by reading and observing their reactions, it's obvious they were afraid. Only after Jesus said, "Quiet, be still," and the wind died down and it was completely calm, Jesus looks at them and says, "Why are you so afraid?" And everywhere you read about the disciples in the storm, either this account or Mark 6 or Matthew, the other similar experience, you can clearly observe how they are very, very afraid. Fear is not an unknown feeling for Jesus' disciples. Fear is not an unknown feeling for us as Christians. Unfortunately, we experience it. It's a human experience. There are four great impelling motives that move men to action: fear, hope, faith, and love. These four are really powerful drives and move us and push us to action. What do you think is the greatest of all? Fear. It should be love, but as in a different dimension, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 13. But observing in general how human react, human is the most powerful engine or drive. It is first in force and first in fruit. And it is obvious, I'm pretty sure all of you have been through all kinds of situations. I clearly remember one of mine. When first time growing in a countryside, I've been followed by a huge, huge dog. I've never reached such speed. I've never run. Yeah. Science proved that in such circumstances, we can actually jump over a fence. High. You know, that we cannot do it without. You can love, you can hope, you can. Fears really push us to the extremes. Since the Garden of Eve in Genesis 3, when man fail God, fall in sin, and God comes to visit Adam and Eve, and they were hiding. Do you remember their answer? Why are you hiding? Why? We were afraid. And since then, fear has never stopped. It is a good fear, and there is a bad fear. As we read through the Bible, we can clearly read that there is a good fear, and it's also good to observe it in our ordinary life. But when Bible address refers to good fear, we know it from Proverbs and also in Ecclesiastic. Indeed, fear is the beginning of wisdom. But fear of what? Fear of God. If you open your Bible to Ecclesiastic chapter 12, at the very conclusion of this book, the wisest man on the planet, Solomon, says in verse 13, Ecclesiastic 12, "Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind." This is the duty of all mankind, to fear God. And without staying too much on this, we know that this refers to a reverencing fear of God. You know, when we revere God, when we respect God, it's not the same kind of fear of coronavirus or any other bad fear. It's to reverencing God. But when we fail to fear God in that way, we open ourselves to all kinds of other fears in life. science, psychologists, sociologists say that actually we are born only with two fears. When a baby is born, we only have two fears, no more than two. You know this? And this is fear of being dropped or fear of falling, and fear of loud voices. Babies don't fear anything else. But when they hear loud voices or the fear of being dropped, that's why sometimes when, you know, they tremble and they react how they react. But as we grow, we acquire all kinds of fears. So today, in a very basic way, not in a comprehensive way, we'll look at basically how to move from fear to faith. But in doing so, we will shortly notice what is the source, some sources, not all, sources of fear, then consequences of fear, and how to overcome fear and move from fear to faith, especially nowadays. I think it's very, very important. There are so many causes or sources of fears, and as I said, it's not going to be an exhaustive study. We have limited time. There are external sources and there are internal sources. The most dreadful ones are the internal ones. As I give you the example, the external source, when we are chased by a dog or a tiger, we react, and that is fear. And because of that, our body quickly, immediately, spontaneously releases adrenaline and cortisol, and in this combination, this gives us force to move on. If it's too much, we actually can freeze. I had another experience when I was about 19, exactly in a Christian camp where I met Elena for the very first time, and she was too young to give her attention at that stage, but I remember her since then. We were somewhere on the mountains, a large group of young people in a Christian camp, and later in the evening, we always enjoy staying a bit later than we've been told, and singing and chatting and so on. But in that area, there are many bears. And they used to come late at night at the bean area to find food. That was fun to observe from the distance, but me and three other friends that I remember very well, another Daniel and two others, we've decided to stay until they come and go closer. We thought we are very brave. We had very old cameras those days with film and flashes, and just to take a photo with the bear and prove it, how brave we are. And we went closer, and a few of them came, and we saw the babies and some other younger ones. And somehow, because it was so dark, we failed to notice the mother bear, who was somewhere basically almost inside the big bean. And when we were close enough, suddenly that bear appeared in front of us in two legs. All three could jump immediately and run. I froze. I couldn't move. And one of them returned and pulled me back. By the grace of God, we were fine. I will never forget this experience. I heard about, you know, seizures and how you can completely freeze. But that was the moment of my life where I could realize what it is. And you want to move, you cannot. This is as a result of fear. Too much cortisol and adrenaline at the same time. Now, for a short moment, that's fine. We can cope with that in life. But when we live a stressful life and we have too much cortisol, too much adrenaline every single day, then this turns to be damaging. So this is an example of external fear. You cannot control that. Well, we could avoid that in that moment. But there are times when you cannot control that. It comes out of the blue sometimes, and we react. But often those external sources trigger something inside. Sometimes a bad word, a bad attitude of a friend, of someone else. which is not a bear, not a tiger, but just triggers something in us. And you suddenly develop a fear. Another strange or simple example, maybe none of you have ever experienced, but have you walked on a street or in a park late at night? You are so relaxed and confident. You think everything is fine. And out of the blue, another person starts walking behind you. It's fine for a while. It just happened to be very close, like 2 meters. And then you suddenly, out of the blue, you think, what if this person is going to attack me? What if I'll be stabbed? What if? You never experienced that. You have. Why? It triggers an insecurity inside of us. It triggers something that we've acquired because of the news about or other experiences. As I said, we are born with only two fears. But in time, we develop all kinds of fears. Fears of dark, fears of light, fears of height, fears of depth, fears of public speaking, fears of, who knows, water. Sometimes it's since we were children because of what our parents said. Don't go too close to the water. Don't go too close to the water. And we heard this. You know, babies are not afraid of water. Put them in the water. They immediately start swimming. But then suddenly, when you go with them for swimming lesson at 6 or 7, they are afraid. Robert was so. But then, going back, I realized I've been protected with them. And all kinds of fears that we acquire because of maybe what our parents said or our friends said or what we watch on the news and so on. Sometimes our imagination, as I just said earlier, in fact, I failed to name it, imagination. That person walks behind and we suddenly start being fearful. Our imagination goes crazy sometimes. I have all kinds of episodes like that in my life. When, you know, not necessary to give all kinds of examples. Doubt is also a huge trigger. We start doubting. And this is what the disciples did. They doubt Jesus' care. Remember last Sunday when they came to him and said, don't you care that we drown? They doubted his care and they doubted his word. We will cross on the other side. And maybe during this time, like never before, us as Christians, as disciples of Jesus, we may doubt his care, his love, the cares of others. The love of others. And I will address this towards the end. What shall we actually do? And why is a problem when we actually start doubting that others care for us and God cares for us? There are fears of future, fears of change, and so on. But I don't want to stay too much on these causes or sources of fear because it's not going to help us. Just briefly mention some consequences. If this is not clear enough and we haven't really observed that affects the mental health, we develop mental issues and we should be open about this. Heart issues, digestive issues, in general, physical issues, our health, it's not going to be good when we are in a state of fear. Our immune system weakens when we live in a state of fear. And during this time of pandemic, I think this is the worst time to watch news. I've resolved that only rarely, a little bit in the morning, I'll watch what's going on. In the past, I always wanted to be informed with all kinds of things, but every time you watch, that's all that you nearly see. And that does nothing else that inoculating fear in us in a time when our immune system should be stronger than ever. Fear weakens our immune system. But fear also weakens our social relationships. And it has an effect on our spiritual state too. In a state of fear, as I said, you start doubting, especially God's care. We are in a vicious cycle. Doubt generates fear. Fear generates even more doubt. I've spoken with Christians that are starting out of the blue, even doubting that they are fully forgiven about their past and sins that they confess 100 times. And every single day when they pray, they start confessing the same things. Why do you confess for 100 times the same sin if you trust that the Lord has forgiven you? He says, I will forget about it. We shall forget about them. But we develop issues, spiritual issues. But what shall we do? Because that's what we should focus about today. And Jesus comes to his disciple asking them, why are you still afraid? So afraid. You still don't have faith? I've noticed, I'm not sure if deliberately, Mark described their fear, but has not mentioned it. There is no reference by saying the disciples were afraid. It's only when Jesus comes and he says, why are you fearing? They somehow, perhaps, try to hide it. It was so obvious, but they didn't say it, which we tend to do too. So the first thing we need to do in order to overcome fear, any kind of fear, is to acknowledge it. Is to acknowledge it. As I said, it's not an unknown feeling for Christian and disciples. It's there. And every single time when God approaches a person, in the Old Testament especially, but we find it in the New Testament as well, he comes to Abraham, for instance, don't be afraid. He comes to Moses, don't be afraid. He comes to Gideon, don't be afraid. On the night when Jesus was born, the angel came, don't be afraid, to the shepherd. Well, it's there, but don't be afraid. Well, it's in the Bible. The Bible doesn't hide it. It's there in their lives, and it's there in the Bible, which means we should be open about them. We should acknowledge them. And if possible, be specific about them. If you want to cure that fear, we need to be very specific, especially with God. Bring those fears to God. Dear God, I really fear the day of tomorrow. I really fear about this virus. I really fear about I'll be lonely. I really fear that I may be without a job in the next few months. I really fear ... You know it very well. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it to a trustworthy person. Share that with them. We try to be so brave. We try to, you know, cover that, but our actions actually are so obvious. And often Jesus had to come to his disciples. Why are you so afraid? Even after his resurrection, they were glad, but they were still full of fear. Don't fear, says Jesus. Share them and cast them away to him. Change the focus from the fear to God's word. Change the focus from what you see to what he says. And that's the most important thing. And now I invite you to open your Bible very quickly, as we have little time, to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10 to 12, 13. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. It will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. What a fantastic passage here. When we sometimes may doubt his care, his intervention, he comes and he so clearly says, do not fear, for I'm with you. You may just say, but this was over 2,000 years ago for that specific people, the people of God, Israel. It's in a certain circumstance and so on and so on. So my question for you here and those at home is, do you believe that the same God who said the same things to those people would say to us the same today? Do you trust that this is applicable to his children today? Yes or not? And he says here, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. Now, was it just their God? What our God too, if we trusted in Jesus Christ? He is our God too. He is our Father. It is applicable. It's our personal God, not just God, a God, not the true God, but your personal God. Your personal God says, do not fear, for I am with you. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will strengthen you. How strong is our God? He's Almighty God, all powerful, omnipotent. He has all the power on earth and in heaven. And he says, I will strengthen you. Not vitamin D, not vitamin C, although we need to take them too. But I, and in these times, just be assured that the same God says the same thing to each one of you. I will strengthen you. And then the same thing in verse 13, for I am the Lord, your, just cycle that. I've circled this. My Bible is always a mess. I'm not ashamed of writing in my Bible. I circle, I underline. It's my God. For I am the Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. Do not fear. If you trust God, trust his word. But is it true that sometimes we forget it? Yes. Is it true that even these times, there are moments when, as I said last Sunday, you feel like knocking in prayer. And somehow you think, is there anyone here or there? No one answers. Where is God in this moment? My question is, have you searched enough? Have you spent enough time in his word? He's here. He's around us. He's in us. He's everywhere. But if you really want to receive this strength and receive his promises and have an anchor in this time, make sure you always go to this place in prayer and in his word more than ever, because we will start trusting more what we see than what he says if we don't do this. And here is a simple way I try to explain to my kids. And not just during this time, I've done it even before this pandemic, in relationship with God and even in relationship with myself as a parent or Elena, said, you know what? There will be time in your lives when you will doubt God's love, God's care, or God's presence in your life. And you will doubt my love. I kept saying always, I will love you no matter what. Consequences in life might be different, but I will love you no matter what. And here, as I explained, I took a ball. I didn't have to bring it today. Your imagination is good enough. A large ball. I jump in my bed and I said, look, the light is turned on. It's shining, is it? Yes. And I put that ball over the light and say, where is the light now? Well, it's in the ball. Is it shining? Yes. Do you see it? Why is it dark in the room? Because you cover it. Okay. So God's love is still the same. It's not changed. God's care is still the same. God is there. My love for you will be always the same, but when you disobey, you cover this. And you may start complaining, God doesn't love, my father doesn't love me. I don't feel that love. Well, just because there is something in between you and God, or in between you and me. And all you have to do in those moments, rather than complaining, I am not loved, I'm not cared for, you just have to go and resolve this issue. It's your responsibility to take that ball down. And then you'll experience it again. There might be things that we need to confess during this time of pandemic, but there are things that we just simply have to go back there in the Word of God to experience what He promised. And I've heard it long enough, even in churches. Oh, I'm the least cared in this church. People don't care for me. I haven't been called. I haven't received a card. I haven't received that. I'm not cared for. I haven't yet explained it to anyone in English yet, but I've done it in the past with other congregations. When I'm thirsty, I'm thirsty because God made it so that, you know, He created something that can help me when I'm thirsty. Water, nothing else. That's what God created. When I'm hungry, I know that there is food. Now, when I'm hungry, after 3 days, I'm still sitting in bed on my sofa, waiting for the food to come to me. When I'm thirsty, I'm still waiting, and I say, I cannot really finish this sermon because I'm so thirsty. And the water doesn't care for me. I have a need, I have to act. When a deer is so thirsty, after days and days of not finding water, it will keep on searching because it knows that there is water somewhere. And then that need is being answered. Care is a need. Love is a need that we have. Why are we waiting always for others to make the first step? Why? And why we are always waiting for God to always make the first step? He has already sent His Son to die for me. He already said, search me and you will find me. Follow me and you will receive this. We need to go to God in prayer, in His Word, to be fulfilled, and our need of care will be fulfilled. Our need of God's love will be fulfilled. Our need of forgiveness will be fulfilled. But who needs to go first in our days after Jesus already came and died for us? He already have done it. It's me. And this is actually applicable in our social interaction and in our churches as well. It's nothing wrong when we make on the other side, when the water comes in a Christian environment, so others take up that phone and so on. But when I'm really there and I really think no one really cares for me, take up that phone and call somebody. And you may discover that you are cared for. But just go and open the fridge. Rather, we may develop a spirit of criticism and complaining, as the disciple did. Don't you care? Don't you care that we drown? And this is not good. It's science and psychologists now that really came up with all kinds of new discoveries in the last decade. And they say that people who constantly critique and complain, they are actually having or experiencing all kinds of internal issues. They always act as babies, as we looked at some time ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, but never grown enough to learn how to actually access those needs in their lives. When I'm in constant complaining, I'm actually denying God's care, people's care, but I am fully exposing my internal issues. And that's why we deepen ourselves in all kinds of fears and anxieties. Why the disciples ended up in that storm once again? Because of their disobedience? No, because their obedience. But because they haven't learned some important lessons that Jesus wanted to teach them. And as every good teacher, after a series of teaching, plans a test. And they were there in a test. Did they fail the test? Yes, they failed. Oh, you little faith. Do you still have no faith? We need to work on this. So few weeks perhaps after another test and another test. And they finally pass it. Why are we often in all kinds of situations like this? Because we often are so good at talking the talk, but not walking the walk. And after a good session of teaching, God put the whole humanity and the entire church to the test. And they were complaining that the teacher was quiet. He was leaping. Well, you've been a student. You've been a pupil in school. Have you noticed that when the teacher teaches, he requires or she requires that the class should be quiet and he or she speaks out loud. But when the test comes, what has happened? There is a mental storm in every student's heart, head and heart perhaps, palpitation and so on. It's a storm inside the class. And the teacher is very quiet, at least in the old days. Quiet at the desk, sometimes doing other things, very quiet. Have you ever complained that the teacher is quiet during a test? No, it meant to be that way. God right now may be a little bit silent, but he is not still. He is doing something. We are under a test. The question is, are we growing or are we grumbling during the test? Let us move from fear to faith. Let us grow, not grumble. Amen.
Thank you, Daniel. We're going to sing one more song together. I think quite appropriate in what we've just listened to. The best place to be is knowing that the Lord is in control and that he's always with us. prayer that as we go into this week, that wherever we are, wherever place we're in, that you will be Lord of it and you will remember that you're there. Help us to dwell on what Daniel has shared and to have more faith than fear, that we can remind ourselves that you are all powerful and that with you we need fear nothing. Help us to be honest with you and share those things that do make us fearful so that we can leave them with you and get on with living our lives in faith. Help us to turn to your word and to prayer to really deepen that relationship with you, Father God, we pray. Amen. Daniel's just going to quickly come and share a bit about the registration process before we unmute and say the grace.
Letter, there is a link where we advise you to go online, phone, tablets, PCs, to register for a Sunday service. It's that easy. Everyone can do it. Those who can access online media. And you have to answer a couple of questions. If you have fever, if you had corona, COVID symptoms, be honest, answer about them. And in that event, be assured that you are not coming, actually. But we will take a decision if you are not quite sure and you still say, yes, I have it, but I want to come. We will tell you not to. Some others will receive it, this letter will receive it this week by post. And we are aware that a number of people cannot access internet. And they will be called by Sister Sheila and a few others helping them to register online. I think it's dead easy, so you don't need too much explanation on how to do it. You just follow the screen, and after you include your name, your email, you just press next, next, till the end. There is no